You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations and our sponsor, Jeremy Fenn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning, and welcome back.
Morning, happy morning. New Year. Sorry, a little bit late for the year, but we're here. We apologize.
It's like 27th today.
Yeah, we're getting there.
It's crazy.
At least we're here in January, Jeremy, so that counts. You know,
it feels like it's been such a long time, the two of you have been sitting opposite me.
Yes. It's been a while. It has.
So you have to excuse me, I'm a one-armed bandit, so I might be a little bit slow with here and there and whatever.
And you okay though, Sue? Everything good? Okay.
Everything's fine.
Very cool. I know we all thought about you and loved you, so wishes went out.
I need to thank everybody who gave me wonderful wishes. I actually woke up thinking they amputated my thumb. So you can imagine that feeling.
You know, you see all those meme videos when people like have their teeth taken out and they're still coming home and they're crying about like missing their mouth, you know. It is what it is. Anyway, so Jeremy, we said we were just going to banter and say how's it to each other and catch up for the new year. But, you know, as everything, nothing really stopped growing out there. So it's been a good season. I mean, we didn't take too long off. Obviously, everybody, I saw your nursery was packed over the holidays.
Yeah, been very busy.
No, it's been good. It's been good. I mean, we took a few days off. Obviously, as a service provider, we can't get away from mowing lawns and that. But I love what I do, so we're very lucky, aren't we? But look, it's looking good out there. But already we're sort of now pacing ourselves towards going towards autumn and winter. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Time flies so fast. But, you know, I was just saying that we're complaining about the heat last week. And then the wind nails us.
My guys, I ladders on a palm tree today, and I sort of woke up thinking, sure, but I don't know if it's the right job to do. But they weren't the tallest, so we're going to get away with it. So that was lucky.
All right.
But yeah, no. So I mean, I was obviously catch up with Doug at your place, and I was just chatting about lawns and that. So I thought we could just chat about it and just do a general feedback for clients about what should be going on.
Yes.
You know, you are still getting color. Everything's still good out there. I mean, next month is the last month of summer though, which is what's quite scary. I mean, I don't think people realize that. So Feb's the last month of summer, and Feb's normally our windiest and, hottest, driest month, I think, if that's not mistaken, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're getting a taste of it now with this wind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing, I hope we don't have a lot of the wind.
Yeah.
Because it dries out the gardens like
100%.
Crazy.
I think one of the key words, and it's just a key word for gardening, and we've spoken about it quite a bit, is mulching. I think mulching is a very important thing to do now.
Yes.
Get stuff down. If you don't have an irrigation system, and you know I'm a big fan of irrigation system, purely because it puts the water in the right places at the right time, and you can manage it and not overspend. But it's good to put some mulch down so that if you do water well, it keeps all the moisture in. Is that correct, Jeremy?
Definitely. And then we can just reiterate what the mulches are. You know, people say, oh, just mulch, and then they don't know what they actually have to do. So the mulches that we stock are the bark nuggets, the wood chip mulch. We've got a shredded bark kind of mulch. We call it the fine mulch, which is really nice. You could do stone. You could do 100%. Peach pips. If you're going to do stone, always recommend doing that landscaping fabric.
Yeah, the weed guard.
The weed guard.
Yeah.
And then that helps to prevent the stone from turning in.
100%.
No, like
Jeremy, I see this every now and then. Sorry to interrupt you. And no, I just wanted to give some advice for this. And Sham, I feel bad if you've had it done. But I see people that don't quite know mulching and how to put it down, get people in sometimes, and they use like a black plastic.
Yes.
It's actually called a pond plastic, and you can buy it at the hardwares and rolls. The problem is I just wanted to warn people, it's actually not the right product to use because it can absorb the heat from the sun, especially if it's open to the sun a little bit, you know, if it hasn't been covered properly. But generally, all mulch gets walked on and spreads a bit thin over time. And it's just something to be careful of. I know that the guys cut slits into it, they think, but it also doesn't allow the water to get through it, to be honest, Jeremy. What happens is the water will go through the mulch layer, hit that plastic, and actually run off.
yes.
to its easiest point of access out of the plastic. So then you're actually not getting water to the roots of the plant. So when you use, if you want to put down a fabric, guys, it's important that you use the proper fabric known as a geofabric or a weed guard, as we just said, Jeremy.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
Yeah, because it does, you know, it does that holding the mulch or whatever on top of the soil and then also prevents the weeds from growing. But, you know, you still get weeds coming on the top of that anyway.
Yes.
Often people say, oh, we put down the weed guard and now we still got weeds. And then they don't remember that the wind blows things onto the top of the stone whatever. And then you still get the seeds germinating.
100%. So, I mean, if the seeds can germinate in your brick paving grout, then it's pretty obvious that if it, there's, you know, and remember when you put mulching, guys, the even stone chip has, what happens is when the stone rubs it together, it generates a bit of sand, you know, there's an excess of sand. And people don't realize it takes just a microcosm of sand for a weed to grow, you know. Yeah. So they grow everywhere, Jeremy.
Yeah, they are, determined little things.
They are. It's incredible because if we just left nature to its own devices, they all flower beautifully, don't they? You go down to the field and it's just a massive color, like purples and whites. It's spectacular, man.
Yeah, we've got, I've got a little property where there's no buildings on it. So we've just let it sort of go. And we've got some beehives on there as well. So they are pollinating those weeds and a bit like crazy. But at least there's lots of food for them as well at the moment, 100%. Which is pretty awesome.
We need to watch all those populations, don't we? But in terms of, as I was saying, getting back to general feeding and that, Jeremy, I mean, the mulch is a very important thing now. Mostly you would have fed sort of December-ish for your flushes in summer. So, you know, if you're looking for your flowering through January and February, you would have done your hectic feeding now, Jeremy. So now we're going out of sort of the busy period. Now we sort of want to sustain the plants a little bit. So in terms of your lawns, as I said, I was talking to Doug at your nursery, and we don't really want to encourage the lawns to grow now too much. We don't want to put a high nitrogen feed down.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sort of already offering our clients a 2-3-2 feed.
Yeah.
And again, it's funny, but as you said, time's flying. Remember, guys, in the next month and a half, your lawns are starting to feel the change in the atmosphere, starting to feel that we're going down into winter. So what you want to do now is you want to get your roots strong.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really want to try and nitrogen boost your grass where you're getting the growth and the greeniness. You know, we've had our fun times of the year. Christmas and New Year's has passed. So now you just want to sustain your lawn.
Make sure
it does stay green and look good through the year. I was also talking, I had a lawn in Constantia that looked a little bit patchy. We checked the irrigation. We've already done a bit of a feeding program. So we are now about to do a coin oil, Jeremy. We're going to do a liquid coin oil, and that's just to see if there's any mole crickets or any crickets under there. Fungus is definitely not a problem right now in Cape Town. It's too dry and too wet. Too dry and too windy for fungus to spawn, because fungus needs obviously wet feet and grass.
Yes.
So if you're battling with your grass like that and you're seeing thing, it could be a lawn cricket. So
I just wanted to add on the fertilizer, you just got to check like what it says on the bag in terms of how long it lasts.
Yes.
Because some fertilizers, depending on how they've been made up, have got like more heavy duty sort of casing.
Yes.
And then they call them like sustained release. Exactly. And then also like something like the chicken manure pellets or something like that, they actually break down quite fast, and then you have to repeat them much sooner than one of the other fertilizers. So if you're using the granules or the pellets or whatever, you just got to check what it says on the bag. And then if you want, like, obviously to provide the nutrients all the time, then you've got to just, you know, keep doing it. And then if you're doing a liquid feed, that's another story.
100%.
Because the liquid you have to do much more regularly.
Much quicker.
Yeah, so every
2 weeks.
But the
liquid feed results are pretty incredible, I'm not going to lie.
Because you can also do, like, foliar sprays.
Yeah.
You can actually spray on the leaves, and then if a nutrient that they're not getting from the soil, from the root zone, might be taken in through the leaves as well.
Very cool.
That's where the sort of foliar spray can come in. In handy as well.
I do laugh though, because I'm now going to flip the coin on my clients here. I get to do this. This is what I love about what we do. The thing about feeding though, Jeremy, is what people don't realize if you've got a garden service is that when you're feeding quite a lot and regularly and keeping it, so we find that our hardest time of the year is December and January, ironically, Jeremy, because we are offering all these wonderful feeds because that's our job. And the clients are saying yes to us and we're loving it and we're feeding. And then I'm looking a month and a half later and we can't keep up with the growth of the hedges or the, so it's quite a strange thing. I said to my guy, to my wonderful young manager, Reese, I said to him, look, what we got to do is we got to feed the stuff that we want to flower and want to look good. But what we got to stop doing is doing a general all-round garden feed, because when you feed everything all the time,
yeah,
and you get to the growth period, and obviously this is it definitely happens more when there isn't a really good irrigation system, that I can guarantee.
Yes.
Then we just seem to battle to keep up with the work, you know. But I guess it generates work for us, because what we stop doing is we're saying to our clients, look, the maintenance isn't getting through the work.
Yeah.
We just can't keep up now. So then my landscape team comes in behind for a day and we do some cutting and clearing. So I guess I'm generating work for myself. But
exactly.
Just remember that if you're a home gardener, it's good to actually look at what you have and plan it so that you're not over killing yourself suddenly with everything growing on you, you know. And generally, if you're good in your garden, you'll have your palette will be worked out where you know that you've got your winter flowering over there. So, you know, in the next month or two is the time to feed those a bit better, to get them to flower better, and so on and so on. So just some good advice there, I think.
Yeah.
And to help me out.
I think I've told this story before, but there is that product called Turbo Grass.
Yes, yes. Okay. My favorite.
10-1-1-1
Turbo, yeah.
5, something like that. And it's extremely high nitrogen, and it works really well and really fast. So when someone buys it, I say, just if you've got like a cuckoo lawn, then you're going to be mowing at least once a week, sometimes even,
even
twice.
Twice. True story.
So if you're doing it yourself, then just be careful, because you know you've got to be in for that.
Yeah. We did a client in Constantia, and I don't know why we didn't go back for the second week. We only got back the third week. The grass was knee high. I spent more time cutting the lawn that day over like 3 hours just getting the grass back in check. So, but in all fairness, it looks green. Also, the problem is just to warn people, if you overfeed your lawn and the grass does grow quite high and you're not mowing it, remember what can happen is when you do cut it short again, you can actually have more yellow underneath
because
you've allowed it to grow too tall. So just remember, there is that fine balance, guys.
Yeah, it does take quite a...
Now, Jeremy, I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball, and this is something that I've sort of seen in my own home, and I wanted to go back to the mulch.
Uh-huh.
And I want to talk about wooden mulch specifically, Jeremy. Can wood mulch, if it sits too long and it gets well irrigated, actually cause more issues than help? I noticed in my front bed, which is more in afternoon sun than it is morning sun, so it doesn't dry out as quick.
Mm.
And I had a ground cover in there, and about a month ago, my roses have unfortunately got scale on them, quite hectic scale. So I've sprayed all that and that sorted. But I stood in this sutra mulch, ground cover, Jeremy, on top of the mulch, and I had like I can't even tell you what they are, but it's just a dispersion of 1,000 little, I don't want to say mechis, but they were mechi-ish, but more ground level. And it was pretty obvious and pretty relevant. And I wondered if my roses weren't battling with scale. And just so everybody knows, whenever I've got a problem on site when it comes to insects, and Jeremy is my go-to, so that's why I'm putting him on the spot right now. But I just noticed that I wonder, sometimes you shouldn't really put your wood mulch right around the base of your trees or your stems, because if the mulch gets too much water,
mm-hmm.
it can surely cause a ring canker or a rot around the base of the plant. And if the mulch breaks down and it gets really broken down and really wet, surely that would cause a fungus or a disease in the soil, because it starts molding. And is that
Well, it depends on what fungus actually happens. So, you know, there are natural funguses that grow in sort of rotting wood and stuff like that. So sometimes it's not the fungus that's going to be affecting the plants. It's going to be more of a beneficial fungus. So it just depends. But what I was thinking with the sutura, we had it a few years ago with the sutura, was or like a whitefly infestation.
Yes, that sounds right, yes.
And that was because of, you know, soil staying too moist, and then all of a sudden you get the whitefly in, and then it's very difficult to get rid of them.
Okay.
Because their life cycle is quite short. You're spraying maybe with an insecticide, and it nails the adults, but then it leaves the eggs and the nymphs.
Okay.
And then those nymphs turn to adults, and then you've got to spray again. So it's like consistent spraying, and then also changing up the things. And then the actual thing that that helped us when we had this massive infestation is we actually got some of these Swirsky mites, which is like a beneficial it's a mite that actually feeds on the eggs and larvae of the whitefly. So you buy it as a canister. It was like a canister of, and it did like 5,000 square meters, and we just shook it all over the.
Amazing, yeah.
It was actually coming out of, like, we had a veggie patch, and we had that, Yeah, that white fly white just fly. Got stuck in.
I was quite lucky, Jeremy, because the patch of suture that I was talking about was so small that I'm sort of like, no, get it out. Get it straight. Also, something, this is such a weird side note, but if you are dealing with disease in the garden, guys, it's very important to work straight into a bag, Jeremy.
Mm.
I find a lot of clients and my staff sometimes, and I keep teaching them, they all work it, plot and put it on the grass or put it down in the bed when they, and I said to them, guys, you realize you're taking the disease from there.
Yeah.
You're simply transferring it to there. So it's very important, guys, if you're dealing with disease infestation, that you bag it immediately for refuse removal, because it's very easy to move disease around. And I've said this before as well. Even our tools, Jeremy, we jazz fluid our tools as much as we can regularly, once a month, because if I cut a aphid in this garden or a disease, I can transport it to another garden on my shears or my – look, it's very few and far between, but it is possible. So it's important, guys, that when you work with disease and that, you must bag your stuff straight away. So I was quite lucky, Jeremy. I just pulled out the suture and bagged it. But as I said, I'm still dealing with a bit of scale. I'm just trying to figure out whether it was the white fly infestation, which clearly was, because it looked exactly like that.
Mm.
But also the suture is quite wet there. It's behind a hedge aggie, you know. So now that you're talking, I think the area is a bit damp, and I think I might need to – get a bit of breathing space into that area.
Yeah, I was going to say that that sort of environment is very beneficial for those things to spread very quickly.
Yeah.
That sort of moist area, but then also it's quite warm out.
Yeah.
So their life cycle just goes, you know.
So crazy. It's almost sounding, Jimmy, like we're talking about mulch. It's almost, as we've just said, with the feeds and overfeeding your garden when you don't want to cut the bush that's in the far left, lower boundary, left corner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of thing, Jimmy. There's, if you've got a shaded area that is actually quite shaded, then it doesn't sound like there's much reason that you have to put a wood mulch in there. Because the wood mulch and the mulching in theory is more for keeping moisture in. So it makes sense that if you, you know, you'd probably want to put the mulch along a bed that's in the south facing side of the house that gets full sun all day.
And the wind.
And the wind and that. And that makes sense. But if you're under a beautiful berm of trees and you've got a, you know, some of my beautiful constituent homes have these beautiful winding pathways through the garden, then you don't need to mulch absolutely everything, because you might actually cause problems for yourself. So
yeah, then you can maybe go to something that's more broken down, like one of those coarse, very coarse compost or something. Yeah. So that goes quicker into the soil. So you still have that sort of layer of things that's going to break
down. Yeah, it's almost like hayish. It's almost like a rough mulch rather than rough, a fine defined like, mulch. Like
something that's going to sit there for longer. Because the wood chip does take, you know, it's going through the process as well. It's breaking down. It's sitting there. It's going to get the fungus, you know, the whatever mushroom fungus or the whatever.
100%. 100%. And Jeremy, in terms of just changing the subject completely now, so in terms of perennials and that in your nursery at the moment, we still got a few months left of a flush.
Yeah, petunias. Petunias are still looking really good. The gazanias.
Perfect.
I mean, those are all year round, but they really look good now in the summer because the sun's hitting them and 100%. The flowers are all open.
But the gazanias is a South African plant, so it should be looking good. But now, Jeremy, is it, when you're looking at plants from overseas and that, and you want to keep color in your garden, you know, they're going they're in their winter now, obviously.
Yeah.
And when we go into our autumn and into our winter and they're going to summer, plants from overseas and that are flowers in summer, would they flower in South Africa in our winter if they're summer flowers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like no. They just get used to the season here. So, like petunias are from Mexico. So pretty much all year round. But we'll have more seasonal because of just where they are. But when they come down here, they don't work as well in the winter because we have the colder, rainy, wet winter. Yeah. So we go for pansies. Like sometimes in some climates, pansies can go all year round. You know, it just doesn't, but in, you know, Cape Town, especially the hot sun in the summer doesn't allow for the pansies to go all the way through. But effectively, if you had a sort of moderate climate, you could actually grow them all year round.
Yeah, pinch them out, keep them good, keep looking after them.
Yeah,
and which is what people do, you know. People enjoy going out on the weekend and doing that to their garden for their braai.
Yeah, exactly.
And you, Sue, any questions coming through? Do you want to put out the number just in case?
Yes, I shall. 072-447-8044. And this is your chance now to ask David and Jeremy questions. I mean, they're here. And as you've noticed, they're on a roll as well.
We're here for you. We're here for you. I don't talk about a roll. You're making me hungry, Sue. I haven't eaten yet. I'm starting to get hungry now. Okay. So, I mean, Jeremy, we're looking good. I mean, I just so some few notes. We've been talking about roses, and we seem to have sort of dabbled and lawned a bit. So for the roses at this time of the year, Jeremy, it says we should water regularly and keep pests and funguses at bay. Mm-hmm. That we've spoken about. And you and I, funny enough, had a chat on Friday about the Rose Care product. It's a really good little product. And in fact, if you are a sort of layman gardener at home and you're battling with an insect or a fungus, it's actually a lucky little product to use because it has an insecticide, it's got a fungicide, and it can be used generally. I'm not advocating for it to be the only spray you have because, you know, I always recommend you take a sample to the two Harry Gummans. They are extremely knowledgeable there. But if you're battling with something minor, it's always good to keep a little 1 liter and just spray that there. And then deadheading regularly at the moment, obviously to keep the flowers flushing, Jeremy.
Yes.
I mean, roses will flower to the end of – do we get an autumn flush? I think we get one more autumn flush, don't we, before we have to prune. So we've got two more flushes now. We've got
it's still a while. I was just going to say it's the main thing is keeping the – because as the temperature starts getting cooler, then we get the cooler nights and the hot days still. And then that's when a mildew will come in and stuff like that. So that's where, you know, spraying with that rose protector, which has the fungicide in it, keeps the insects 100%. Off and then also keeps 100%. That mildew out of
and
the
And then you said something very important a little bit earlier when it came to the fertilizer, Jeremy, and I think it makes actually sense also when it comes to spraying products. You spoke about reading the label and looking at the active ingredient in the sense of how long it's used for, how often you should be using it. Because again, if you're overspraying an insecticide or something and and you're not giving it the time to work and you're trying to bombard it, you can actually do more damage to the plant than good. So remember, it's always good to read the instructions or speak to the professionals at Harry Gummans and they will guide you in the right direction. And then here for rambling roses, it's time to tie on the new shoots, Jeremy, and then onto climbers and that, and then remove suckers from below the grafts. For lawns, we've got to watch out for fungal disease in the humid weather.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they're saying is, you know, and in Cape Town, the humidity has definitely been on the increase over the years. I mean, I know it can get hot, but there's a weird mugginess when you go outside and it's just overcast and I just like sweat and it's like, oh no.
It's
terrible.
It's been this past few weeks.
It's been terrible.
Humidity has been there.
No, it's been high.
And it does affect the plants?
Yeah, it's been.
Yeah, well, again, water, if you're watering your lawn, do early morning watering rather than in the evening, just to prevent that fungus.
Yes.
And then you talked about it earlier.
Sorry, Jim, to go back there, you're saying we should, because I've sort of been encouraging the opposite for summer. It's obviously water in the evenings so that the water sits longer and allows the roots to be deeper. But now, as the changeover into autumn comes, we want to watch that. So you reckon we should start watering a little bit earlier so that by 9, 10 o'clock in the morning when it's a bit warmer, the wet is drying out of the ground.
Yeah, or at least the leaves and that layer. So that you've done your watering and the roots have got their watering early in the morning.
Yeah.
Because otherwise what happens is it sits overnight and it's really wet.
Yes.
And then that's when the fungus is going to get in.
Yes, okay.
So as we go, I mean, it's still another month or two.
Yeah, but it's good to know. It's good to know.
But you were talking about the lawn crickets and the lawn caterpillars. Those are also going to be coming up soon.
So, I mean, I was going to say that it's still a little bit away from me, but I'm looking at about the mid-April to end of April, beginning of May, Jeremy, that I'm going to be proposing a pre-emergent spray for weeds. Because remember, weeds actually grow during winter. I learned that all last year. But so we're going to be doing our pre-emergent sprays now, end of April, beginning of May, so that through winter, because then we don't really look at lawns. You can feed a 2-3-2 during winter, as well I learned last year. I always sort of had the mindset that lawns were very dormant in winter, but they're actually not as dormant as I thought. If it's getting a bit of warm weather and there's a bit of rain, believe it or not, the grass will grow a few centimeters. But that's where you just got to watch it. And as Jeremy just said, you know, if you can see rain's coming, don't water your garden, your lawn. Don't encourage the fungus in that in the middle of, I mean, we know we're near winter. We'll speak about that later, but we're kind of crossing over at the moment.
Spray some lawn till.
Yes.
That's the one that also has the product or the active ingredient that takes care of the winter grass.
Yes.
And as you said, you can do it as a pre-emergence.
Yes.
Because often when the grass is a little bit weaker in the winter, it's not growing as fast. Like you said, those weeds can get stuck in, especially the winter grass. I mean, and it's still, you know, people see it and they think, oh, it's my grass, but it's actually not the grass.
No, it's winter grass. But funny enough, I'm having a bit of an issue with a few clients at the moment, Jeremy, with nutsedge.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, I tell you that. It looks just like grass. It obviously grows quite quicker, but you can't use a like a lawn tail or a super lawn weeder because obviously those are designed for broadleaf spectrum sprays. And obviously this nutsedge is identical. So I believe we've got to use a very particular product.
Yes.
I've got the name. I can't think of it now.
It used to be called Bazagran.
Yeah.
And then the one we've got now is called Halo.
Halo, that's the one. Yeah. That's the one. So but I don't know if the Halo, I was talking to Doug, and I don't know if the Halo will kill the grass as well.
No.
Okay.
No, it's meant to only target the nutsedge.
They're very similar, obviously, a blade of grass and a blade of nutsedge. Until it's quite grown, you can see the difference clearly, but as a, when you've just mowed it, I mean, it looks like one beautiful gooey lawn until you start seeing it. So.
Yeah, they pop out.
Yeah.
And stick there.
100%. And I kind of compare it to, I was talking to Doug, and I keep mentioning Doug, he's amazing, man. It's almost like the onion weed, Jeremy.
Yeah.
The Enkies, you know. It's almost very similar to that. It's the same leaf structure. And it's the same sort of root. They've got a little bulbous root. So that's why they're very difficult to get out, Jeremy.
Yes.
Because you can't actually weed them out. And they're so close that you're actually going to end up killing the lawn. So unfortunately, spraying Halo is probably the only solution we have.
Yeah.
And that's what we're busy doing at the moment. So just so people know that. And that's about it, Jeremy.
Oh,
and
then, David, before you end, just explain that to us, because I thought grass was grass.
No, it is. It's called nutsedge. Also a bit new to me, but it looks leathery.
Yes.
And it actually grows taller than kikui, believe it or not. And kikui grows, you know.
And this is between the grass.
It's almost like you'll have a blade of grass and a blade of nutsedge and then a blade of grass. Only once it's longer is it obvious to what it is when you go and look at it. And once you know it, you'll know it. But as Jeremy said, pointed out, and I keep saying layman, but for the guys that don't know lawns too well, you'll look at it and you'll think, sure, why? I've got two different types of lawn. Yeah. I've got like kikui and I've got this other beautiful thick green grass that's growing quite tall. And it's actually a nutsedge. There was another name for it. So as Jeremy just pointed out, again, this is why if you do find that you've got a lot of weed like that, I would encourage a 232 right now first. The 232 would be to give the roots a bit of feed of the lawn just to strengthen your grass before we spray. I always think it's important to strengthen your lawn before you do anything on it, Jeremy, you know.
Yeah.
So, and moles, we're not going to go into that now. Oh. The moles are a nightmare. I can't find out how to sort them and I'm back.
we'll take it to our next one. Yeah.
But thank you so much, Jeremy.
Yes.
Lovely seeing you.
Yeah, you too.
Soon. Well, yes, same thumb gets better. It's not just the thumb. But it is an experience. I had it when April.
Yes, it's been a while you've been carrying it now.
So I've been using the one hand, so now I'm back to the one, you know, genius to the one on bandit.
Hey, you got to wax that.
So thank you guys for coming in, sharing your knowledge and, of course, your expertise, and we will see you
in 2 weeks' time. We will be here.
So have a lekker day, both of you.
All the best. Bye, guys. Bye.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Khumans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Khumans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Khumans Garden Center.